What's up, everybody? It's Shelby with Hooks, Books, and Crime, and it's Craft and Story Time, where I tell you a horrible story and crochet. If you like to craft and listen to true crime, or if you just like true crime, let me be your girl. To the few of you who do watch this, I do apologize for my inconsistency. Life has been like lifing really, really hard. I do plan on eventually doing this weekly and hopefully growing, but yeah, we're going for a craft circle community vibe thing. Come join us. Please, of course, tell your friends, like, subscribe. Any type of interaction would be great. I'm always on TikTok and really the other, I was going to say Facebook and Instagram, but I'm really inconsistent with that too. But all right. So the story I am talking to you about today is, it's really common. Not common. What the hell? I would hope this isn't common. It's very well known. It's the Lululemon murder, and it's a doozy. So if you're crafting, grab your stuff and let's get going. What I'll be working on today is this little guy. This is the body of a toaster. I will be doing the finishing touches on this, and you won't see the final result, of course, until after this video. And of course, you can find it on TikTok as well. But I'm ready. If you're ready, grab your crafts and everything, and let's go. We start off with Brittany Norwood. Brittany Norwood was born May 1982 from a town called Kent, Washington. I had no idea there was a Kent, Washington. Every time I hear Kent, I think of Kent in the UK. I'm not in the UK. I just watch a lot of British TV. But yeah, so Kent, Washington. Where in Washington? I didn't look. I should have, but I don't know. So do your research. Now, Brittany is from a really, really big family. She's one of nine kids. Nine. I have four. And to me, that's a lot. Nine is just, I don't know. What is that? A football team? A baseball team? It's a baseball team. Crazy. There are five girls, four boys. I couldn't find where exactly she falls in there. But what's important to know about this family dynamic is, so her family ran an upholstery business, her dad mainly doing all of the business work, managing and everything, and her mom was responsible for the home, taking care of the kids. And when you have nine kids, yeah, it's a lot of work. If you really do the math, that's 12 years of raising kids if they're back to back, because you have to get them through school too, right? To school age before you have a little bit of break from them and you can kind of pick up and do other things. That's at least 12 years of busy, 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 busy. Now, she did an excellent job, an excellent job. They were very good parents. They had a very big emphasis on discipline, structure, and they really raised their children to strive for success. Quite a bit of them are college graduates. They have great careers. So, I mean, the family has quite, you know, a good track record, really. These parents really poured into their kids and wanted them to have good lives, be good Samaritans, have a good life. And for Brittany, Brittany's thing that she really, really thrived in was soccer. She was one mean soccer player. And when I say mean, I mean mean as in amazing, but also she was very, very competitive. Her drive just locked in when she was on the field. Off the field, everybody said she was kind of mild-mannered. She was a little timid. She was quiet, but she was kind. But when you put her on the field, it was whole other Brittany. She was there to play and she will take you down. And this drive that she had and this intensity that she had for the game led her to gain a scholarship. She gets a scholarship to Stony Brook University and she graduates high school in 2000. So then she goes to college to play soccer. And she excels there too. In her college years, she did great the time that she got to play. Outside of, you know, soccer, she's a sociology major and everything seems to be going well until she is actually accused of stealing from her roommates and her teammates. There is enough evidence. We know for sure they definitely have evidence on her, because she loses her scholarship and she's actually asked to leave the university. She's expelled. So, and you mean, I'm sure the fact that she's so far from home, she's in Long Island. She's completely on the other side of the country. Then this happens. She actually doesn't go back home. She moves to DC and tries to, you know, pick up the pieces from there. She doesn't return to school, though. She actually gets a job at a hotel, a very, very high class luxury hotel. A hotel like, if you got money, you stay there. She started at the front desk at this hotel, and apparently she was great. Guests love her. She was an amazing employee. She got along very well with her team. She thrived. So she actually gets promoted to VIP concierge. And when you're a VIP concierge, you have to have people skills and you have to be able to read people and kind of understand or be able to think on your toes as to what they're probably going to need next, what they may not like or appreciate, And she was very good at this. She did amazing in this role. But then, just like in college, Brittany suddenly up and leaves her job. She just quits. She stops showing up. There is nothing solid about why she did this, but it's heavily suspected that she was stealing from there too. And if that's the truth, if she is stealing, then we know that there is a pattern going on here. There's a compulsion, possibly even an addiction. And when you think about how her life spiraled out, she lost her education. Soccer was her life. There goes her identity. A lot of the times, you know, people act out for control or just like this impulse. Her may have been stealing one thing. She got a thrill from it. And then just like addicts, she keeps going. And you get a little bit more daring and a little bit more ballsy with it. And if that's the case, then she got caught at the hotel. I also think she was caught stealing because I think if it were going to be something where like she snapped at a guest or something like that, I feel like they wouldn't be afraid to say it, if that makes sense. But they're very hush hush on why she left the hotel. But she probably figured they were onto her and it was best to exit herself than be fired. However, and you know, Brittany, I will say this, Brittany is one independent cookie. Even after this, she still doesn't go back home. It does make me wonder if her parents didn't know what she was doing. I'm wondering if they knew why she left college, like if she made something up there. And I wonder if they knew that she quit her job in DC, or if she just, I don't know. I'm just curious how much honesty was there with her parents. Because after this, she doesn't go back home. She moves to Maryland and starts working up there. So in Maryland, she starts working in Bethesda. And apparently she gets a job at Lululemon. And apparently where this Lululemon is located, it is all the high-end stores. Neiman Marcus, stuff like that. Where you want the high-class Fendi, Gucci, stuff like that. So that's where she's located, she is surrounded by wealth. Lots of wealth. Everybody looks very clean. Probably low crime. Maybe kind of whitewashed. We don't know. But she's in a very different dynamic than what she's used to. And, you know, it makes you think like, was there temptation there? Was she scheming? We don't know, right? So one day, Brittany's working and that night she has to close the store. She's going to close with a coworker named Jana Murray. Well, Jana Murray is actually, I believe she's like a shift lead or a lead. She's a higher level than her, but they're closing together. And Jana, you know, they're coworkers. There's no bad blood between these girls. There's like no beef between them. They work together fine. They're not friends. They don't hang out outside of work. But they work well together. You know, they're good with each other. They have no problems with each other. But Jana's from a whole different life than Brittany. Probably for most of us, honestly. She's from Kansas. However, her father is an oil operations manager. So they were quite wealthy. Financially, she had an easy upbringing. So because of this wealth, she was exposed to a lot of culture. She traveled a lot. She had a lot more opportunities than Brittany did. But Jana was also very nice. She was very well educated. And she was very, you know, there was no gray area between right and wrong. Her parents, too, really instilled hard work, discipline, and integrity. And she was heavy on the integrity. She wanted to do everything the right way. So she worked hard. She made moves, not through nepotism, which, I mean, I think we all wish we could be part of nepotism, right? So I'm not even mad about it. But she really had like a hell of a work ethic. Now, she was actually, the way she got this job at Lululemon was she was actually a graduate student at Johns Hopkins University, you know, really great university. That's where she was getting her graduate's degree. And she started working at Lululemon for research so she could write a paper. She ended up enjoying it after the paper was turned in and she decided to stay. She excelled in her role there and she becomes a manager. So March 11th, Brittany and Jana have to close the store together. They walk out together. For some reason, they go back in and they are not seen until the next morning. March 12th, around 8 a.m., the opening manager comes in and she sees the store in disarray. She's very confused. So she's very concerned because she doesn't know if whoever did this is still in there. So she actually comes back out. She finds someone, asks him if he can go in there with her because she's scared. And when they go in, they don't have to go very far before they just see an excess of blood and they find Jana dead on the floor. And they just go right back. They go back, run out and call the police. So when the police arrive, they find Jana Murray deceased and Brittany is actually tied up but she's still alive. She's kind of in and out. She seems very weak, like maybe she had been assaulted as well, but she's alive and they're able to take her to the hospital, do whatever checkups they need to do, and they start the investigation. So once Brittany is well enough to talk, of course, they need to get a statement, and she tells them that what happened that night is her and Jaina, you know, walk out of the store. So Brittany tells them that while her and Jaina are closing the store, two men walked in and held them at gunpoint, and they began assaulting them, especially Jaina. They seemed to target Jaina and were really, really going after her. She was assaulted as well, but Jaina had to took the most of it. She described the attackers as one being about 5'5", 5'6", he's short, and then the other one being very tall. They were dressed in black, they're wearing gloves, and she says that while, you know, they're being assaulted, that Jaina was fighting back tooth and nail. She was really giving it all. And just, unfortunately, she couldn't overpower them. They did horrible things to them. They were raped with a hanger. And eventually, Jaina dies. And they decided not to kill Brittany because, as she said, they said that she looked like a good fuck. So they kept her alive, which is so weird. Is that why you leave people? You know what? People are fucking weird. That is why somebody would leave someone alive. Never mind. But that's what she says, you know, there she's zip tied and tied up. However, so they listen to her statement and everything, you know, they're hawing her like, okay. But some things are kind of weird because, of course, they have to ask if anybody saw anything. They go next door to the Apple store and they share a wall, of course. And when they talk to the guys, there were three guys in the store that night, and they said that they could actually hear something going on the other side, but they heard two women. One of them was very hysterical and crying, and the other one was the opposite and was kind of trying to, you know, bring her down. She was very calm and was, you know, definitely trying to defuse the situation. They said it went on for about an hour and a half, and then it stopped, and they thought it was just girls arguing. So they eventually, you know, when it was their time to leave, they took off. The other thing they notice is, like, so with Brittany has very superficial wounds. The way she was tied up was kind of awkward, and the way she was tied up and, like, displayed, it was, like, overstaged. It was kind of obvious that it was what somebody would assume it would look like, so it looked more like theater rather than what you would normally see. She had minor injuries. Her pants were slit in the middle, so they did think she was sexually assaulted. She said that Jaina was sexually assaulted. Remember, she said they both were. But the autopsy comes back that no, they weren't. Jaina wasn't assaulted, and neither was Brittany. And the other thing that's confusing to them is, so when they're in the store where all the blood is, there are two sets of footprints. It's clearly a tall person. It's a size 14 shoe, but the other shoes are Brittany's. The zip ties Brittany has are the zip ties that are actually in the store already. Also, the door was locked. The opening manager had to unlock the door that morning, which means the assailant would have been inside. So that doesn't make any sense either. And then they start interviewing the co-workers and the team that work at that Lululemon. And for starters, they learn that, so Brittany had apparently worked at a different location before, but she had been fired, not for theft, but for abusing her employee discount. I don't know, I guess some type of mediation. They allowed her to come back, but they transferred her to that store. Not long after Brittany was transferred, suddenly there's a lot of shrinkage. There are articles of clothing missing. There's a lot of merchandise missing, but there's also cash missing. And they never had this problem. You know, there's, of course, your typical overdrafted with cash, nothing major, but none, like the shrinkage and everything, that has never been a problem until Brittany showed up. And it's when it's something like that where there's a change and suddenly there's another change, you know what the cause and effect are. So they knew it was Brittany. It was heavily speculated amongst everybody, but nobody could prove it. So it was kind of the waiting game until they could finally catch her in the act and then fire her. And then, so while all of this is going on, they're talking to Brittany, and Brittany's story keeps changing. What a surprise, right? That's like the main consistency when it comes to people trying to lie about crimes. Her story keeps changing. It gets more and more bizarre, and it just doesn't make sense. And you can tell she's getting frustrated with it, but, you know, they have to sell her on it. Like, well, we just, you know, we need the details, things like that. And the funny thing is, so two of her siblings actually go with her for the questioning, and they leave, and the siblings actually called the detective and tell them like, hey, you know, we're just trying to help, but Brittany is withholding some information from you. And they're confused, like, okay, what's this information? Well, it turns out Brittany told them that she had made her move Jaina's car. So they're just like, that's interesting because she never mentioned anything like this. When they recover Jaina's car, which has clearly been moved, it definitely had been moved from where she had parked. They search her car and they actually find blood and DNA, Jaina's DNA, somebody else's DNA. So now they're more confused as to all of this. And when they bring this up to Brittany, Brittany says that, like, okay, yeah, I was in their car. She says that these two assailants had her go outside, move Jaina's car for whatever reason, and then come back. And they're kind of like, well, if neither one of them went with you and they let you go outside with a vehicle, why wouldn't you just drive away? And she says, like, oh, scared they're going to find me and whatever, right? Which, I mean, like, why wouldn't you just drive to a police station and be like, this is happening. Get there now. Help me. There's so many ways around it. But they're like, okay, Brittany. And this is when we get, like, the clincher, right? So that's already like, okay, Brittany, what the fuck is up? But then they talk to another store manager. And this store manager tells them that Jaina had called her March 11th that night. Apparently, when her and Brittany were walking out of the store the first time, they were walking out of the store. They had actually closed the store. Brittany didn't mention this. They had closed the store. They go to their vehicles and then Brittany called Jaina. So what Jaina told this manager is that when they were closing the store, if you've ever worked retail, you know this, you do bag checks. You check each other's purses or whatever they brought to make sure nobody stole anything. And if they have something, you ask for a receipt. You just need proof of purchase. She checks Jaina's bag. Jaina's clear. Jaina checks Brittany's bag. And there are leggings in her purse that she did not purchase. And it's very clear she did not purchase because she just came up with all these excuses as to why she didn't have a receipt. But Jaina, you know, to defuse the situation, she was like, you know what? Don't even worry about it. Let's just go home. We'll worry about it tomorrow. Okay, it'll be fine. And they separate. Jaina in her car called the other store manager and told them what happened. Again, integrity. She wasn't going to let this slide. She knew it was wrong in the fact that she caught her red-handed. She's going to report it. So she had told the store manager everything. But somehow, they ended up back in the store. So when they asked Brittany about this, she's like, oh, I had left my wallet in the store and I had to call Jaina so we can go back in. And that's when those men got us. So, you know, none of the math is mathing with Brittany. So after piecing everything together, police are like positive, or detectives, I should say, are like positive that they know what happened. Brittany never confirms or denies it. But when you put the pieces together, this is what flows. So that Friday night, Brittany and Jaina close together. Jaina finds the leggings in Brittany's bag, tells her, you know, have a good night. Don't worry about it. They go to their cars. Jaina is on the phone with the store manager. Brittany is shitting a brick in her car. Because she knows she is fucked. Brittany's fault, Brittany's problem. Brittany makes it Jaina's problem. Brittany's toxic. Now, Brittany calls Jaina and makes up this ruse that she forgot her wallet in the store. Can they go back in? And as it is, Brittany actually called another coworker to get Jaina's number. And that coworker even mentioned it. They're like, she called me for Jaina's number. So just another thing that just slipped Brittany's mind, right? So once they go back into the store, the girls start arguing. Well, my guess is, because remember, the guys in the Apple store said there was one girl who's like hysterical and frantic. And then there's the other one who's very cool-headed and calm. I'm pretty sure Jaina's the cool-headed one. And Brittany is the one freaking the fuck out. And that's what they're hearing, is Brittany probably either pleading or yelling at her something about not telling on her, not reporting it. You know, please save my ass. And at some point, Brittany snaps. It's very hard to believe that this whole attack was solely about Jaina reporting her and her losing another job, because she inflicted 330 stab wounds as well as blunt force trauma to Jaina. Jaina wasn't murdered. Jaina was tortured. This was an attack that lasted about 20 minutes, and Brittany was using anything and everything available in the store. And when I say that, I mean a box cutter, the store merchandise pegs, hangers, a hammer. She was using everything. Poor Jaina, who really did nothing to her, aside than do what's right. All you're going to do is lose your job. It's not that big of a deal. Like, it sucks, yeah, but it's not. So Jaina, this poor girl, is horrifically, brutally, atrociously murdered. And I think a lot of this stems from jealousy. I think it was just the straw that broke the camel's back about being caught. I think Jaina had what Brittany wanted. She may have also been jealous that Brittany is over here continuing her education. Jaina's continuing her education. Jaina does the right thing. Jaina probably seemed to have a perfect life while Brittany's was falling apart little by little. I don't even think it was little by little. I'm pretty sure the walls were coming down at this point because she lost her ship. So after Jaina dies, Brittany gets to work staging the scene. She, you know, self-inflicted wounds. She messed herself up a little bit. But she also went and got shoes from the display, put them on her hands, and did little footprints and put them back, which is why there was only two sets of footprints. The footprints were still in the store. She's charged with first-degree murder. Her defense tries to get her not guilty by insanity plea, an insanity plea. That gets thrown out the fucking window because, like, no, she's not. She's not. Crazy people don't put their fucking hands in shoes and make footprints. No. Like I said, everything was really falling apart for Brittany. Apparently, her boyfriend had broken up with her and she was stalking him and his new girlfriend to where he had to actually go and get a restraining order. And men really try to avoid that because people judge men for being weak when they do that. When you bitches are fucking crazy, all right? Women are crazy. Just like men can be crazy, but there's a stigma. So the fact that he felt the need to go get one means that it was pretty fucking bad. She was just like, he would fucking see her through his window and she's just staring at him in the car. Weird shit. And then sometimes she would just text him and like ask him to hang out. Like she forgets that he wants nothing to do with her. On top of that, Brittany hadn't been paying her student loans. She was in a ton of debt. And the bills were just piling in and coming after her. And if you know anything about student loans, that is like the most unforgivable debt you can have. They will get your ass. And they're going right after Brittany. So it's very clear to know that this was the final straw. She was about to lose her job. She needed the money. Everything else around her was going to shit. She has a fucking problem with stealing. And poor Jaina was just in the wrong place at the wrong time when Brittany saw red. It really is tragic as hell because Jaina didn't do anything to her at all. Nothing. If anything, Jaina should be mad at Brittany for putting her in a fucking bad position. So they go to trial and the jury only deliberates for like an hour and she gets life in prison without parole because, I mean, really, I'm so glad she didn't get like a 20-year sentence or something because it was really awful what she did. 330 stab wounds. She also has a skull fracture, head trauma, neck trauma. You don't want people like that around you. One snap and she did that. You don't even hear serial killers doing that kind of shit. Brittany needed to get help and she didn't. And I think that's our takeaway on this one. If you have a compulsion and you know it's getting bigger, of course, first step, right, is realizing you have a problem. You need to get help as soon as possible. You really do. There's so many resources now that it's kind of inexcusable when you know you have a problem and refuse to get help. That's how I feel, honestly. Because there's just so many people willing to help and kind of want you to take advantage of them. And some people don't. The other thing is, if you know someone that clearly has a problem, kleptomania, drugs, drinking, and you can tell they're on a bad path, they're not listening to your concerns, they're making really bad choices, really impulsive choices, you might want to separate from that person. I know I would. I don't want to be there when it snaps. And I think we should really consider that. It's okay to look out for yourself first in those situations. It really is. You can care from a distance because you don't know what people are capable of. You really don't. Brittany was closer to the edge than anybody thought. And finding leggings in her purse pushed her off the cliff. And yeah, that's my takeaway on this whole thing. I thank you for joining me. Again, please like, subscribe, follow, interact in any way, spread the word. I thank you for joining me and I'll catch you on the next one. Okay, bye.